I shall be turning soon to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. My message this morning is entitled, The First and Second Murder. Or with the subtitle, Formal Religion is the Murderer of the Soul. In our Genesis scripture passage, we read of Cain murdering Abel. And you may have thought that this was the first murder. Because I'm speaking on the first and second murder, you may be asking, what was the first? For that was the second murder. We find the answer in John 8:44, where the Lord says to the proud Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. So we go back 6,000 years to the Garden of Eden, when God had finished his wonderful work of creation and that perfect creation. And we note that Satan tempted Adam and Eve to fall into the rebellious sin of unbelief. Satan's challenge to them was, hath God said? They listened to Satan. They obeyed him in preference to obeying the Lord God, their creator. And therefore, they were the first murder victims. They and the whole human race, along with them, you and me, we all inherit the judgment of God, which he gave out because of that unbelief. Now there were no immediate dead bodies lying on the ground or blood spilt from deadly wounds. But on that fateful day, physical death entered God's perfect creation. Yet out of God's grace and mercy, Adam lived until he was 930 years old. He saw the next seven generations. Methuselah was 56 when Adam died. And Noah would be born 126 years after his death. But spiritual death entered immediately. Adam and Eve immediately lost their created state of innocence and their close spiritual relationship with God. We're told by Paul in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And we thank the Lord that it goes on, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But separation from God, the wages of sin, death. We have inherited a soul which has unbelief at its heart. This separates us from God. This is our natural state. Spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. We're reminded in Ephesians 2:1, as Paul wrote to the believers at Ephesus, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So Satan was the first murderer. And Satan is set to see that you do not seek for forgiveness and eternal life. If there's anybody here who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then Satan is out to keep you in that state. And I plead with you to look to the Lord, because Satan is as good as being your murderer today. Mankind was now in need of a savior, and a descendant of Adam and Eve was promised by God. A seed was promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, a seed who would bruise Satan's head. It is probable that Cain was born. When he was born, his parents thought he might be that promised seed. They may well have brought Cain up as the promised one. When Abel was born, he may not have been considered to be as important by his parents as the firstborn Cain. Now we must feel that really, surely, Adam and Eve would have taught both Cain and Abel that he and Eve had made a great mistake in listening to Satan and losing their position of close fellowship with God. They would have told them how they had to take the skins of animals to cover their nakedness, a sacrifice to symbolically cover their sin. The first sacrifice, which was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ to come. They would have taught them how this animal sacrifice was God's way for them to approach the holy God with repentance in their hearts, looking forward to his seed, the promised one, the Messiah, who would come one day as the true sacrifice for sin. They would have to wait 4,000 years for that. We look back 2,000 years to when Christ came. Well, sadly, Cain grew up to be a very proud person. However, Abel was the one who was given faith to understand that the only way to approach God is to come humbly, seeking the Lord with a heart of repentance to find forgiveness from God. Here in these two brothers, we have a picture of the two approaches to God that we can make. Either one of faith, approaching God his way, or the other of proud unbelief, rebellion. Approaching God in a man-made way, that which I would call formal religion. There are many verses in Scripture which we could bear in mind, but I bring two or three to you. In 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord says, "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Are you conscious that the Lord is looking on your heart every day, every moment? That's a humbling thought, isn't it? We read Psalm 51 and David's sincere repentance. He had committed adultery. But more than that, he had organized the murder of Uriah the Hittite. He was guilty even of murder. And yet, he repented. He found the forgiveness of God. He was cleansed. He was washed. He was forgiven. And we read in Psalm 51:16-17, "For thou, God, desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." So sincerity of heart is needed. You may say, but the Lord God ordered them to have sacrifices until Christ should come. Very important part of the Jewish worship was the sacrifice. But God wanted their hearts, not the formal obedience to that command. If they did not come with repentance in their heart, that sacrifice would do them no good. In fact, it would probably do them harm because they were resting in formal religion and not heartfelt spiritual religion. So both these men, Cain and Abel, were taught by their parents regarding Almighty God and his holiness. They were taught the result of sin that had entered into the human experience, causing separation from God. Can you imagine the heartfelt teaching that they would give firsthand from losing that first blessing they had with the Lord when they were created perfect but allowed to fall? They would have taught that God had shown Adam and Eve the need for animal sacrifice for sin and a picture of that seed to come in due time, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the ultimate sacrifice once and for all. We read in Revelation 13:8, "The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." It was God's eternal plan that a Savior would come. So Cain and Abel both knew that they had a responsibility to worship their Creator God, and so they both brought offerings. As you know, Abel brought a lamb from his flock, and Cain brought of the produce of the land. But Abel's was the only sacrifice that God accepted. Why was this? It is very important that what they brought was correct and acceptable to God. And also the way in which it was brought was also crucial. We must learn ourselves from this as we approach our holy God. Now, Cain was probably very skilled and tended the wonderful plants and which grew in those early post-creation times. Obviously, it was God who had actually designed and created them and caused them to grow. However, Cain saw the occasion of this offering as an opportunity to proudly show off his own skill. He had ignored the fact that through his childhood and upbringing, Adam and Eve had brought an animal sacrifice. And Cain now comes with a sacrifice of his own production. His approach was of his own making, formal religion, totally ignoring any acknowledgement of his sinful inadequacy and need of forgiveness before a holy God. It's like all who come to God in a formal way. And we must ask ourselves, have I come today in a formal way rather than in a spiritual way? But Cain showed no humility of repentance and faith or devotion to God. Just a proud, overconfident trust in his own abilities. We learn here that we must be aware of pride. The pride of our hearts is the cause of all sin. Our skills are meant to be used for God's glory, not to show off our own glory and boast in our own work, especially when it comes to our approach to God and our worship of him. How do we express our religious devotion to God? False religion always tries to proudly work religious acts, offerings, and ceremonies, not realizing that this approach is an insult to the sovereign God, our Creator. Formal religion, we can think of Roman Catholicism, which is a man-made religion. I'm sure you are aware of that. It is a religion of control. It gets in the way. The Pope, Mary, is placed in the way of us going straight to the Lord, God, through Jesus Christ, a man-made religion. We have in our country the Church of England with very formal religious processes. We have dear men of the past, dear Bishop Ryle, who was an evangelical who preached the gospel, and he stepped aside from a lot of this nonsense. But we might be tempted to think that, oh, the pomp and ceremony, especially that we get at wedding, the royal weddings and funerals and things like that, is the way to approach God. But it isn't. We have today modern worship. We have really stage performances, acting and music, often banal repetitive choruses being sung. All are classic examples of this type of thinking. And sadly, these have crept into many church services today with choirs, bands, and even drama. Preaching is left out or reduced to a minimum or to just some nice friendly words. No mention of sin, no mention of repentance, no mention of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So this is modern man-centered entertainment style worship, and it is not acceptable to our God. It is a show of human skill, musical ability, maybe dance, vain repetition of words, no obedient devotion offered. Remember, the lie of Satan is, hath God said? The scriptures teach us of the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle and how the high priest could only enter once a year, and that not without blood. And So now we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who has opened up the throne of grace to us. We can come daily, but we still have to come in repentance and faith. You may say, but I come to EDT. I do not like formal worship, as you've described. But unless we come without claiming any works, then we have come in a formal way. We've made our own approach to God, and I call that formal worship. We are taken in by Satan whenever we ignore a teaching of God's truth, because it is unbelief. Hath God said? He often tempts us. Cain gave his offering in order to get praise to himself. Cain came totally ignoring his guilt and his sin and was very proud of his own abilities. There was no attitude of seeking forgiveness, of repentance in his heart. Surely he thought his own effort would gain him acceptance with God. He was a good person. He did all things reasonably well. Surely he would be accepted. But he was assuming that his offering was going to be accepted. Maybe because he was the first son of Adam and Eve, the special one, the great one, with impressive skills. However, we know that God looks at our heart motives. Scripture is clear on this. Cain was full of himself, full of pride, no room for God. His God was himself and his own way. Beware then, lest we fall into making the same mistake. Do you add your goodness to what Christ has done on the cross? Is it Christ plus your good works that you feel makes you acceptable to God? Be warned. The scripture tells us that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. We need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We must not add our own good works. It's good to do good things. We're asked to do that, but not to bring that as a reason why God would accept us into heaven. Because God rejects all those who approach him with this double attitude, this proud attitude of Christ plus my works. This wasn't true of Abel. He was a keeper of sheep, a shepherd, and he'd been brought to see that his life and soul was not really his own, but were given him by God. He evidently had been brought to see his sin as being offensive to a holy God, and he had faith that God would one day provide a savior to remove his guilt. His offering would show this. God provided clothes for Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, by the killing of an animal. And there was that setting there of the animal sacrifice for salvation, looking forward to Christ. Abel realized there was nothing that he could do in and of himself to remove his natural inherited guilt. He could not work to gain acceptance with God. He needed God's gracious offer of free forgiveness. His offering was a picture of this, a symbol of the seed who must come and die to take the punishment for our sin, a substitute in our place, even the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a lamb he had to sacrifice, one of his flock, the best one that God had given him, not any scraggy lamb. It had to be the best. Abel came God's way with repentance, by faith and in faith to his Lord. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 remind us that for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Has God given you this faith? You cannot make it yourself. It is the free gift of God to us. Abel's was an offering which found acceptance with God. It showed he understood that he needed someone else to do it for him, namely God, a Savior, the Promised One. Cain was trying to do it for and by himself. In his mind, he had tried so hard and put so much effort into it, he couldn't understand why God had rejected his offering and rejected him with it. This is just like true and false religion. The difference between true Christianity and all other false religions is that true Christianity teaches salvation by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. False religions all try to find salvation by doing something to earn acceptance. There are formal rituals. There are working it yourself, being a good person, claiming your goodness is good enough for God, not recognizing that even your goodness is sinful in the sight of a holy God. But this is a proud assumption and an insult to God's holiness. How can we expect to do a little good, perform a few formal religious ceremonies, pretending to pray, worship, expecting this to be enough to satisfy the holy God? How does this approach make up for the multitude of our sins, all the guilt and pollution of our pride and unbelief? How does that make up for our total lack of righteousness? I'm sure you know the answer. It does not. All these are as filthy rags as we have thought in God's holy sight. We need someone to work it for us. That someone is God, the eternal Son, Emmanuel, perfect God, perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Cain's offering was impressive to men, like all false religions are, and especially false formal Christianity. He expected his offering to be acceptable to God, but this false religious worship is not acceptable to God. It is not spiritual. It is carnal. It is of the earth. It is of man's invention. When Cain's sacrifice was not accepted and Abel's was, Cain was devastated. He felt insulted, humiliated, and most of all, he was angry. After all, he thought, he had tried harder and put more effort into his sacrifice. It was a painful blow to his pride. And when pride is in the heart, it grows like a cancer, spreading more and more. In his pride, he had been walking tall, head and shoulders above everyone. And when he wasn't accepted by God, he had been brought down, and it showed in his face. But sadly, it did not humble him. He thought he was good enough, better than Abel. He was self-righteous. And when God revealed the truth that he was not righteous, Cain was crushed. He was angry. He thought God had made a mistake. He refused to be humble. He actually disagreed with God in proud unbelief. Maybe we have added our own ideas and replaced God's way of salvation by adding our own thoughts to it. I challenge myself on that. Does anything get in the way of Christ and Christ alone? We say, surely I'm a good person. I'm not too bad. I'm not worse. I'm probably better than most. Well, 1 John 1 verse 10 reminds us, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, Cain thought this was all very unfair. In verse 7, the key to the passage, the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Here we see God graciously pointing out to Cain the proper way to come, the way he had been previously taught. We note that God, in one sense, is saying, Cain, if you'd have done the right things, you would have been accepted. But that was the right way of coming. It wasn't works. It was coming in faith and trust with a correct sacrifice and with a repentant heart. If he'd have come that way, God would have received him. So here we see God graciously pointing out to Cain the proper way to come, the way he had been taught. The reference here is to come the right way, to be accepted, to come with a sacrifice of a lamb, with humble repentance. In those days, to come pleading the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. At EDT, we seek to bring the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to you every week. Are you crushed by the directness of the message when you hear that you are a sinner and there is a call to come humbly to the Savior in repentance and faith? Is there pride in your heart like there was in Cain's? Would you reject that message and not come? But this call is from our gracious and merciful God. Cain rejected God's mercy and wanted revenge. And men do the same today. When the Christian gospel message offends them and calls them a sinner in need of repentance and their need of Christ as a Savior, they become angry and persecute the true believers who truly follow him. They do not want God to save them. They want God to be pleased with them as they are. So Cain went to talk with Abel. No doubt Abel witnessed to Cain about salvation by faith, not by works, to accept God's way as the only way, to turn from his formal self-invented approach. Sadly, Cain would not listen. Instead, Cain set about to destroy the gospel call, to murder it. Are you listening? Will you murder this message? Will you shut it down? Cain murdered his brother in vengeance for spoiling his great reputation as a formal religious worshiper. And so Abel was the first martyr. But his soul is now in heaven. God saved him. Anger in the heart ends in murder in the hands. Soon God would seek him out and ask him where his brother was. Obviously, God knew what had happened. He knows our hearts and all our secret sins. And he wants us to confess to him and seek his forgiveness. But Cain lies and says, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And that's a play on words. Abel was a keeper of sheep. And Cain wanted to know, am I his keeper? Well, it was a compound sin, wasn't it? Many sins in one. It was deceit, disrespect, jealousy, pride, unbelief, unthankfulness, and with an unrepentant spirit, all on top of physical murder. God's law was broken in many pieces. So let us search our own hearts. Are we breaking God's law? We must come to him for forgiveness. We must admit that we are also guilty of these sins that Cain held in his heart. Only in Christ are believers saved from the curse of spiritual deadness we have inherited from our first parents, Adam and Eve, and from our own breaking of God's law. Only in Christ. Cain was to be a fugitive and a vagabond. This proud man was now a proud outcast, his pride making him destitute. Don't let pride be your ruin and downfall. Cain complained to God, not of his sin, but of his punishment. He did not repent. He still went away with the belief in his heart that he was okay. It shows great hardness of heart to be more concerned about our sufferings for our sin than the guilt of our sin before God. Cain brought a curse on all he did, and if we reject God, we won't have his blessing. All our plans will be frustrated. Nothing will go right in the end, even if God is good enough to preserve our lives for a while. Go the way of Cain, and the world will leave us its mark upon us like a stain and a scar on our soul. But let's reject the pride and error of this false approach to God, this false religion. Let us accept the free grace of the good gospel news. Then we will find God's forgiveness and true life in Jesus Christ. Cain lost out on eternal heaven. who can earn heaven by their own effort? And the answer is no one. But heaven can be ours because Jesus Christ earned it for us by dying on the cross for us, taking our sins' guilt away and freely giving us his righteousness, a righteousness which we must admit we do not deserve, but that we can thankfully receive. So, in closing, remember, trust in Christ, be humble, not proud, have faith in Christ alone, not in our own works. Abel lost his earthly life, but gained eternal life for his soul. Cain preserved his life, but in the end lost his soul. Will you humble yourself and accept Christ as the sin offering who died on Calvary's cross to save you? Who in doing so made a substitutionary atonement for your sin and for the sins of all those who would put their trust in him? Or will you, like Cain, harden your heart against God, full of excuses, refusing his gracious gift, thinking like Cain that you are right and God is wrong, thinking you don't need him, maybe asking, why should I grovel to God? The answer to this is, it is not groveling. It is being correct to humbly admit that we are wrong. And we must come with that humility of heart, with repentance of our sin in the light of this realization. Do you hear that knocking? Even a faint knocking on the door of your heart? Answer it. There is free salvation in Christ waiting for you. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do not delay. Come to the Savior now.